Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing so far? Amen. Amen. We have one more item we're going to insert before the message that is going to be the highlight of today. Can I get young Andrew to come up here? Who knows Andrew? Boy, you're a popular guy. So a couple of weeks ago, we had the huge campery Oshkosh in Wisconsin, someplace up there.
Oshkosh?
Rained the whole week, right? But something beautiful happened. This young man gave his life to God and was baptized. Amen. Where's mom and dad? Is she filming? Because I was going to invite you up, but mom and dad. Come on up here. And you know, it's wonderful how God works, because he knew Pastor Lucas, who recently moved on, took another call. You like Pastor Lucas? He can preach some good sermons, huh? He happened to be at the campery, and guess who baptized this young man? Huh? So this is his certificate. We will give him a certificate also, but this is the one he got. Pretty fancy. It's fancier than ours, huh? And this makes him an automatic member of the Beaumont Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I leaned on Gloria's wisdom and experience on it, and she said, we don't have to do a reading. He's automatically a member. So I ask if we accept him.
Yes.
So do you, the church at large, accept Andrew as a fellow member of the Beaumont SDA Church?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And yes. The Bible?
Yeah.
I should have just let her do this.
Huh? Well, also, we would like the church to commit to praying for Andrew and his family.
Amen.
How many of you will commit to praying for him?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, Andrew, I'll just say this real quick because I don't want to stay up here too long. You know how I am with my preaching, right? But when you're out front, everybody behind looks at you and want to take your place. You know what I'm saying? When you're at the front of a race. When you make a decision to stand for God, everyone back there, the enemy, Satan, all the bad guys, want to trip you up. They don't want you up front and winning anymore. You understand? So now the temptations come. Now the trials come. Now the enemy is going to try to put things in your way through your friends or people at school, etc., to make you make wrong choices. Lean on mom and dad. They've been there, done that. Messed up a lot, as I have, yes? And if you trust them, God has given them the stewardship over you to guide you and keep you safe, right?
Yes, sir.
So this is a gift from our church, the Andrew Study Bible, and mom can attest to how good that book
is.
Amen. All right, so if the congregation would join me in a prayer for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for Andrew at such a young age making such a solemn and momentous decision to stand for you. We praise his willingness and his commitment to you. And I pray, Father, as his journey begins as a baptized member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that you would place angels even closer to him to guide him in his thoughts, in his actions, and his decisions, and bless him in everything that he does as a child of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Congratulations. Thank you. All right. If you folks would join me in a prayer one more time so we can get into this message this morning. Father, this morning, as we open your word, as we open our hearts and we open our minds to receive a message with a blessing from you, we invite your Holy Spirit to impart understanding and wisdom to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before I start, I'm going to say, we had some fresh faces serving this morning, didn't we? It took me many, many, many years after joining the church to have the courage to come up here. And William, he may be out there, already having stewardship. Amen. Amen. And how long have we known Thomas? You know what they call an act of Congress? I said, Thomas, one verse with one line. And now your journey begins. We'll have you preaching before you know it. Amen. Amen. All right. It's been such a blessing for everyone that served already this morning. I was thinking as Olivia was singing how effortless that was. And it sounds easy as I listen. And when I try to sing, oh, man, I all the more appreciate those whom God has blessed with that gift. All right, so this morning, our message, let's be friends. And I'll tell you, the goal was 1.5 typed pages, right? That was the goal. As God is my witness, I said 1.5 typed. And I remember being at page 1, second paragraph, thinking, ooh, I can't even get a page out of this, you know? And by the time I put the pen down, I have to apologize to you. We're at 4 pages. You will not be out in 15 minutes. All right. So let's be friends. Where am I going with this? Anybody, tell me.
Let's get to know each other.
Let's get to know each other. Very good. Who else? Let's be friends. Oh, thank you. Anyone else? Being friends with God. Somebody's slipping my sermon notes, huh? I always got to steal my thunder. Very good. That's right. Read that statement from the other side. Think about God saying to you, let's be friends. The reason I'm preaching this morning, as you know, I'm a procrastinator, and I waited too long to line somebody up, so here I am again. And I said, you know, I don't know why it happens. I pray to God for the message, and it seems like the messages I give here almost sometimes beat you guys up, and that's never the intent, I promise you. I always write a message like I'm talking to myself. Call me crazy if you will, but that's how I write a message. So I purpose in my heart this time, it's got to be kind. Let's just be friends, right? So let's be friends. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be in agreement? And for me, I read a story about a man walking down the side of a train track. We don't do that around here much, but we've got some train tracks. So picture this, the guy's walking down, kind of walking on the track, you know, and he slips and his foot gets stuck in the track. And he tries to pull it loose, he cannot budge his foot. He's tried everything he can't free himself, so guess what he does next? He goes to God. That's what we do when we fail, finally. Right? When we realize we're just not that good at saving ourselves, we finally turn to God and said, God, if you free my foot from this track, I promise I will never drink again. And he's pulling and he's trying and his foot is not coming loose. And then all of a sudden, it feels like the track is vibrating a little bit and he realizes This track is live. There's a train coming. So he prays even harder to God. God, Lord, Jesus, Holy Spirit, whoever else is up there, help a brother out. Let my foot free. Not only will I give up drinking, I will give up cussing too. And he pulls and he pulls and he's swaying. And the more he pulls, the more it seems it's stuck. And then all of a sudden he hears the train whistle, that siren, you know. And what does he do? Sweet Jesus, please, let me out of this track, free my foot, and I will give up smoking, cussing, drinking, everything. And he's fighting to get that foot loose, and that foot is not coming loose. And finally, at the last second, he can see the big light of that train. The train is almost on, and the foot comes loose, and he jumps, saves himself there, right? He gets up, dusts himself off, and said, well, thanks anyway, God, but I managed to free my foot on my own. And he walks off and he's gone, right? You know, I wrote a message to myself this morning because I struggle with the dependence, independence thing. Some of you may know this, some of you may not. I handle my problems by myself. I fix my stuff by myself, and if I can't fix it, it goes in a container on the top shelf till I know how to fix it, but I never throw it away. Bad habit, but I got a lot of broken headphones that need soldering and all kinds of nonsense, right? I move things that seem impossible for one person to move. I would use a skateboard on one corner, whatever it is. It's strange. But this idea of being independent has me in its clutches. And learning to be dependent on someone else is not in my genetics. And that's my mother's fault. But that's okay. I don't like to depend on people. I don't like people to help me, so to speak, to where I feel like I owe them something, right? And it's been a struggle for me all my life, I think. They call me a loner. But here's the thing. Why does God see my independence as a stumbling block? You hear that? God sees my stumbling block as, my independence as a stumbling block because when I believe I can take care of me, what do I need God for? Why does God want me to be dependent on him? We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. So my belief is I have to work hard and provide for my family, my children. I got to pay my own bills. I got to take care of me. I got to protect people that I got to protect. That's my responsibility, and that's how my mind works. It's easy because I have the liberties to do that. So let's go on a quick journey, and I'll make it quick. Imagine, just pretend, that somehow things changed in this great land of the brave, this great place of freedom, where all of a sudden I'm being told I can't worship my Creator on the seventh day. It has to be on the first day. And furthermore, I can't go to Kroger's and buy my groceries anymore because of that. And I can't renew my driver's license with the state and the tags on my car anymore. You see where I'm going with this? Yeah. We're imagining. We're making this up, right? And now, all of a sudden, this totally independent me is compromised. How am I going to make money? I can't go to work. How am I going to put food on the table for my kids? I can't go buy groceries. You see what I'm saying? And I think to myself, if I had only listened to the word of God when I was younger, where God says, depend on me, I will meet your every need, then when this suddenly happens, I wouldn't be in a panic. You see? I wouldn't be in a huge panic now because I don't know how to let go and let God. I don't know. I know of it. I've read about it. But me, myself, to just let it go and let God handle it for me is a challenge. Amen. And when the time comes where it hits me like a 2x4 on the side of the head that I can't go out there and do it on my own, what do I do? All of a sudden, now I go scrambling to Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Is that how that works? Matthew 24 tells us, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So I bet when those days come, I'll learn real quick how to depend on God. You know? So now, when I do this self-searching, I ask, why am I not training myself for that? For everything we do, common sense tells us, train. You want to go to the Olympics? You train from the time you're a child. You want to be as good as Michael Jordan? When do you start playing basketball? Yeah. And how long? Your entire life, right? Anything you want to be good at, you want to be a minister, you go to seminary and you train. You want to call yourself a professional and have a business degree, you go to school and you train. Everything we do, we train. So why is it that now, if I have the knowledge that a time may come where I will not be able to take care of me in the traditional sense, why am I not right now training for that? And here's what's an interesting thought. Let's say I was very wealthy and successful, and then the time comes where I'm called upon to make a stand for God. What do I do with all this money and property and everything that I have when I just disobeyed the laws of the land and now I am considered a criminal? Do I get to keep all that I have? So now culture shock. All of a sudden I got nothing and I'm on the hills. Doesn't matter if you're poor or you're rich or in between. When the time comes to stand for God, if you truly stand for God, that is the reality that you will face. Amen? The prophet Amos asked us, can two walk together except they be agreed? What say you? Parents, ever take your little child on a walk? He's got good days and bad days. On a good day, it's good. On a bad day, he doesn't go where you lead. She doesn't go where you lead. They pull you this way. They pull you that way. And you're trying to lead them on a walk. You and your little one want to take a walk. And they're going every which way. And if you let them go, they go running. Now you got to run. And now you're stressed out and tired. This peaceful walk, you just lost your zen. Your Tai Chi just got turned upside down. But when that child is cooperating, isn't that a joyful walk? Isn't that a good walk? You get to hold that little one, and they tell you the whole life story in baby talk. You don't know what they're saying, but you're smiling and grinning and shaking your head, yes. And it's a wonderful time. Yeah? How do you walk with God if you can't be in agreement with God? It's just like that. God is trying to lead you somewhere today. God is trying to lead me somewhere today. But that whole dependence thing, So I'm pulling this way from God. I don't stray too far. I got to keep my eye on him. So if I get in trouble, I'll be okay. But I'm not ready to walk the way he's walking. And then I'm pulling this way. God, I got things to do still. I'm following you. I love you, Jesus, but I got some things I want to do too. And God is saying, I want you to do this. And I'm saying, not yet. I'm not telling him no. I'm saying, not yet. You know, and we have this struggle here because God wants to walk with me. God wants me to walk with him. And I keep pulling every other direction but straight ahead. You see? And if you're married here, that's a beautiful thing. But if ever you were a good half a mile from the house walking back and y'all had a disagreement, and you still got to walk back to the house, anybody ever experienced that? That's the longest walk ever. No joy, no joy, no joy. Yeah? So here I'm asking myself, Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they're in agreement? I'm in agreement with God. I believe all of the Bible. I believe all of the doctrines. Where is the problem? Why am I not meshing up with that scripture? What do you think? I think that's a good question to ask yourself. Don't answer it, though. Don't answer it yet. Children, where are the children? Who is less than 10 years old in here? Less than 10. Anybody less than 10? Behave. All right, who's less than 8 years old in here? You're older than 8 already? Dylan? You see how I know I'm getting old? Who's less than 5 years old in here? I'm way off of my numbers. Let's pretend there's some kids in here that are not old enough to be playing in the street by themselves, okay? And they're on that side of the street, and you see this traffic is bad, and you're on this side of the street, and you got to get them in the yard safely. Do you say, John, hurry, run across here and get in the yard? Is that how you treat your 5-year-old? No. Do you say, John, be careful. There's cars in the road. Look. When I count to 3, you run to the middle, I run to the middle, I grab your hand, I'm going to bring you back. Is that what you do? Or do you say, you wait right there. Don't you move. Don't you move. Or I will whoop your butt. Don't you move. You get to the other side, you reach and you take John's hand, and you look for his safety and you bring him back home. Yeah? So what is this thing about meet me halfway? Imagine if God told you, let's go on a walk, let's be in agreement, meet me halfway. Huh? Can you walk in that much righteousness to go halfway to God? I know I can't. If God said, meet me halfway, we would have a problem. Because I can't even step 1% towards God. I have to understand that I am solely dependent on God, whether I admit it or not. I have to realize that for everything I am, I have to give the blessing, the praise, and the glory to my Heavenly Father. Amen. And the beauty about this walk is God crosses the street and extends his hand to me. He don't tell me run in the street, you know. Don't get hit by the car, Marcus. Don't give in to them temptations, Marcus. But meet me halfway and then come into my joy. That's not the God that I serve. I don't know what God you're serving if that's what you believe. But my God crosses the street, comes to me, extends a hand to me, even though I've been bad and run over to the other side of the street away from him, and he brings me home or back into his realm, into his peace, into his community, if I am willing to reach back out to his hand. Let's be friends. God is asking you today, do you want to be friends with him? Y'all remember George Strait? Check one. Let's be friends with God. Show of hands, who's ever heard of Abraham? Abraham. Abraham was called a friend of God. In Isaiah 41, 8, this is how God refers to the man Abraham. Isaiah 48, 1, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Wow. Imagine if God said, "This is Juan, my friend. Not my son, not my servant, not my creation, my friend." You know, you think about this. Solomon will forever be known as the wisest man. Yes? Samson will forever be known as the strongest man. David probably as the bravest man. Who invented electricity? Ben Franklin? Ben Franklin? Who invented air condition? And I thank him for it. Is it Willis Carrier? But you know, they've all gone on. I don't think too much of them unless I read something. But can you imagine if your legacy for eternity is you were the friend of God? Think about what that actually, I mean, superficially, okay, you're the friend of God. But get deep on that for just a few seconds. Think about that. For the rest of eternity, Abraham will be known as the friend of God. Abraham was not an angel. He was an ordinary man. Amen. Abraham wasn't perfect. He sinned a number of times. I read something early this morning that really, you know how I say you read a scripture over and over and over for 10, 20, 30 years, and one day you read it and it's like, wow. Abraham, when he was 99 years old, was finally blessed with a son, Isaac, at 99, right? And boy, he loved Isaac, didn't he? Isaac was the jewel of his eye. When Isaac was about 12 years old, God, who blessed him with Isaac, asked something of him. Do you remember that? "Go up Mount Moriah, take just the wood. I want you to sacrifice your son to me, the thing that you love the most." Way, way back then, long before Jesus walked the earth. I never thought about that. But Abraham loved God so much that this tremendous prize of his, though it saddened his heart, he was willing to let it go for God. And I've told you before, my son is a rascal, and I still wouldn't do that. How do you love God that much that after you've waited 100 years for this child, and this child is only 12 years old, God asks something of you, and you are willing to be obedient and faithful at the same time? This is why Abraham will forever be known as the friend of God. And the God we serve is not a tyrant. It was a test. Abraham didn't know that. It was a test. And when he proved his loyalty and his obedience to God, God stopped him short. "I don't need you to sacrifice your son. Hold on to that. I'll sacrifice mine." And that's when this morning, that scripture, that storyline hit me. When God stayed his hand, stopped him, spared his son, but didn't spare his own son. And says, "Do you want to be my friend?" This morning, God says, "Do you want to be my friend?" So how do you become the friend of God? Well, you got to start by walking with God. Because I'm going to tell you, these long-distance relationships are hard, I've heard. Right? You want to be God's friend, you got to make a decision to start walking with God. Right? You got to be ready to make a commitment. There's that word. Y'all know I have some words that I fear, right? You have to be ready to make a commitment to God. Look, we're busy people. We are. Right? What do we say when we wake up? We hit the ground running. Huh? And then all day long, we're doing what? We're working for the man. That's what I hear. And man, we're busy. Let me ask you something. Young people, Andrew, do you keep a quarter in your pocket? A quarter? Do you even know what a quarter is? You have a debit card? Do you keep a quarter in your pocket? How about you, Elisha? You carry a couple of quarters in your pocket so that if you need to, you can stop at the payphone and call mama and tell her you're going to be late? Huh? Do you even know what a payphone is? It's not a Walmart prepaid phone. It's a box on the corner that you got to walk to and drop a quarter in. And guess what? It was such an upgrade on those corner phones when we didn't have to do the zing, zing, because it's 110 degrees outside. Now we got push button on our pay phones. I was stoked. I was excited, man. Now we carry a cell phone, and aside from being willing to work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, we decide we don't mind multitasking, right? And we're going to have email on the phone. We're going to have text messaging on the phone. And you know what? We got to keep up appearances. Let's throw social media in there. And I'll tell you what. In my realm, social media is Facebook, Twitter, and I was trying to remember them. So I said, let me Google. Man, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube. What's some of these? The list was four lines long in there. I'm not even going to read it to you. You cannot stop thinking about media, digital media, and talking to people all the time. So with that all happening, where do you fit Jesus in? Where do you fit Jesus in? Aside from all the digital part that you got to do all day, now you still got to get home, and you got to shower, and you got to clean the house, you got to feed the kids, and all this stuff. Where do you find time to even sit down with your kids and have evening worship anymore, let alone personal worship with God? Amen. And you say, yes, I want to be friends with God. I say, yes, I want God to be my friend. Really, Marcus? Really? Where's Leonard? Where's LJ? I'll leave that alone. Really? If I want to be friends with God, I will make an effort. You hear what I'm saying? If I want to be friends with God, I might be willing to meet him halfway, whether I can or I cannot. I might be willing. I might be thinking, yes, I want to be God's friend. I don't expect God to do everything, and I do nothing. But guess what? Right now, that's how it is, because I'm too busy to do even a little bit, let alone a lot. Andrew, I was going to give you this mint because it's a two-pack and it was your special day, but I kept it. I apologize. Sometimes you got to be honest and ask for forgiveness. I'm going to be eating that later. Sorry. So here's the thing. It's 12:10. I'm going to have us out of here in 5 minutes. How do you become God's friend? First of all, you got to answer yourself the question. Don't say it here because everybody's listening. That's easy. Yes, of course we want to be. But do you want to be God's friend? That sounds like a really simplistic question. It's not. It goes very deep. Because you know about the friend that you can count on, right? You remember when you were young and not very smart at all, there's a guy or two or a girl or two you could call because you just weren't smart, and they would be there for you. You understand what that true friendship was like, right? And today there are people you can call. I'm not going to call names, but there are people I can call, and they will come running. What can I help you with? What kind of trouble are you in? And even if they're busy, they will drop what they're doing and come to my aid. I know people like that, and so do you. Amen. Amen. That's what friendship is. Not just the fact that, oh, I know people who can do for me, but the fact that I know people who care about me that much. So you want to be friends with God, you got to be ready to care that much for God. You see what I'm saying? If you really want to be God's friend, answer yourself honestly. Do you care enough about God to answer him when he calls? Do you care enough about God when there's a need here to step up and serve God, your friend? Do you care enough about God when you want to catch that last half of the game or whatever, but it's time for worship? Do you care enough about God to be obedient to what he's asked of you? And he's asked a lot, hasn't he? He's asked you to just be a good guy or a good girl. That's what he's asked of you. He hasn't asked you to climb Mount Everest, has he? Is that in Isaiah? No. He didn't ask that of you. He didn't ask you to give 90% of your income and figure out how you're going to handle yourself with 10%. Did he? Is that what's in Malachi? No, it's not. It's not. All God has asked of you is to walk with him. Obedience and submission. That goes against our nature because we are steeped in sin. But that is all God has asked of us. He has not asked us to pay back the blood of Jesus Christ. For us, that would be a big ask, wouldn't it? He has not asked me to pay back the spilled blood of his son. All he asked me to do is to stop 1 minute and recognize that he is my creator and that he loves me that much that he gave up his own son for me. That's all he asked, right? Time, worship, communion. God doesn't ask a lot of us. We make it seem like he does, but he really doesn't. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you," Jesus said, "that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Isaiah 49:1, "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name." God knows you that intimately. Before you were born, he had a plan for you. Before you were born, he wanted to build a relationship with you. Deuteronomy 7:6, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession." Out of all the people who are on the face of the earth, God chose you as a special people to him. Let me tell you something. That is huge, because there's a lot of people on this earth. There's a lot of cool people on this earth. There's a lot of rich people on this earth. There's a lot of popular people on this earth. And God chose little old plain ordinary me instead of all these fancy people. Deuteronomy 7:6. That's the God that I serve. Isaiah 55:1-3. "Come, everybody who thirsts, to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant." The list just goes on and on and on. But I'm going to tell you, we're to walk in one accord with the Lord, and we're to learn how to become God's friend. Abraham figured it out. Why can't I? Why can't you? We're to remain in complete obedience to the Lord to truly know and become his friend. But that's part two of this message. I'm not preaching that today. And we're to submit our will completely to his leading. But that's part three of this message. Don't have time to go there today. So who is the oldest man who ever lived? Methuselah, how old? 969? Let me challenge you to think the oldest man who ever lived was Enoch. 365 years, and he walked with God, and the dude is still alive as I stand here. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. What joy. How amazing is that? That you are so close to God, that you truly are God's friend, that God will not wait until you die and Jesus returns. He's ready to have you in his place now. That's Enoch. But that's a message for another time. And boy, I really wanted to talk about Elijah. You know, Elijah is my boy, but we're not going to do that today. But the power with which he moved the word of God forward, the power with which he stood against insurmountable odds, the only one, the last prophet of God, against 950 between Baal and Ashtoreth, he had no fear for his own life, and he called on the power of God. Man, I could preach some sermons on that, but we're not going to today. But God took him up in a whirlwind. The dude is still alive. Being the friend of God, we can't love the way God loves. These men loved God that much, but God loved them more. Wow, God loved them more. Today, we're going to leave on this note. And look, I'm 3 minutes into overtime. I sure wanted you about 12:15. Focus on your walk with God. Today, you can have a spiritual walk with God. And if you have a spiritual walk with God that is right today, I promise you, according to God's word, you will have a physical walk with God in the near future. You will walk with God in heaven. You will walk with God in the earth made new. What house is worth that? What fortune is worth that? What fame is worth that? Have a spiritual walk with your God, a true walk, an honest God. Make God your friend today. And he has promised you will walk in heaven with him. You will walk forever with him in the new earth. Can you say amen? Amen. If it is your desire today to ask God to be your friend, say amen. Amen. If it is your desire today to dedicate at least a few minutes every day to spend in talking to and listening to him, say amen. That should not be difficult. If you have to take insulin, don't you take your insulin every day? If you got to take pills for heart problems, don't you take your pills every day? If you're into health, don't you make it to that yoga class every other day? Don't you go biking every day? If you run, don't you do that on a routine? And sometimes it's hard, but you love it. It's what you do. It's who you are. Then why can't you give God a few minutes every day? You say you want to be God's friend. Words versus actions are two different things. Everybody's got a lot of words. Your actions speak louder than your words. You want to be God's friend? Prove it. Amen. Give him 5 minutes, real minutes, not distracted minutes. Just give him 5 minutes when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. Just 5 minutes. You will find that you will fall in love with the God who made you. And 5 minutes will not be enough for you anymore. But you got to start with that 5 minutes to realize what you've been missing. You got to start with that. If it is your desire today to get past the confusion and to have a plan for becoming God's friend, like a personal trainer designs a diet and a routine for you, like a personal banker designs a budget for you. If it is your desire today to have a plan, then see me outside and we'll talk after. We'll help you design a plan to get on track with becoming the friend of God. Friends, today, God has crossed the street. God has extended his hand to you. And he wants to bring you back to his side of the street. He wants to bring you home. Will you reach out your hand to God today? Will you walk home with God? Will you be friends with God? Let us pray. Father, I thank you, first of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for opening that gate for us, Lord, that we have salvation if we want it, that the blood of your Son provides that for us. I thank you for being willing to be our friend. We don't deserve that. That is so huge. And you want to be our friend. You want to talk to us. You want us to come to you and spend time. You want to spend time with us. It's almost unfathomable, but thank you. And I pray, Father, we can be humble and selfless enough to see how much we need you. Thank you in the name of Jesus, your Son and my Savior.